in the not too distant future. Next Sunday, Candy, there was a guy named Joe, not too different from you all in. He worked at the Smiling Institute, just a man I face in red jumpsuit. He did a good job getting up the place, but his bosses didn't like him, so they shot him in his face. We'll send the cheesy movies, the worst we can find. We'll have to sit and watch them all in the monitor of mine. Now keep in mind, Joe can't control where the movies begin all end, because he used those special parts to make his robot friends.
Where the men wear shorter skirts than the women.
Deeper.
All I can say is this.
Teaching a parakeet to talk is fun, but the old method took too much time and patience. This record is specially designed to teach any healthy, normal parakeet to talk by using a scientific new method that is acknowledged to be far superior, because a carefully trained voice, specially chosen for excellence in clarity and diction, repeats over and over the same words, the same phrase, in a manner that most parakeets are most likely to imitate. For the next few seconds, this record will be silent. It then begins your parakeet's talking lesson. In the future, start at this next groove following the short pause, and always place your parakeet near enough so that he can plainly hear the inflection and sound of every word.
Hello. Hello, baby. Hello. Hello, baby. Hello. Hello, baby.
Give your children everything. Give them your time. A thought from the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, the Mormons.
Those who swing, those who rate, they're the ones who know Pepsi is great. Those who move, those who go, know the swingers are swinging to Pepsi. Those who rock, those who jet, know that Pepsi is part of their set. Those with sock and a glow know the swingers are swinging to Pepsi. Every swinger knows that Pepsi is it. Each bell ringer calls it a real ring-a-dinger. So if you wanna do what the swingin'est people all do, it's a bar, yeah, a breeze, simply call Pepsi, please. Then take a sip and flip, because it's true. Yeah, the swingers are swinging to Pepsi. The swingers are swinging, cause Pepsi's for swingers like you. Pepsi is for swingers. Pepsi is for swingers. Pepsi is for swingers.
Hello, my friends, and welcome to another broadcast of Mystery Science Radio. This is Cherokee Jack, and we have Radio's Frank in the studio. Say hello, Frank.
Hello, Frank. Hi.
Hi. We're glad that you've tuned in this evening because we have a very special program lined up for you. Coming up later in the broadcast, we're going to have an homage to Torgo with Torgo, This Is Your Life. But before then, we have some wonderful music and a special interview with Tiny Tim.
God help us, everyone.
No, not that Tiny Tim, Frank.
No?
No, it's Tiny Tim of Tiptoe Through the Tulips.
Oh, okay. That Tiny Tim. I never heard of him.
Yes, well, we're going to be interviewing Tiny Tim. We've brought him back from the grave, from the dead, with our evil experiments, and he is in the studio with us at Mystery Science Radio today.
I thought his name was John Doe. We were working on him, and you didn't even tell me who he was. Now, okay.
Where did you dig him up, Frank?
I'm not... Ask Torgo. I am definitely not the person to ask for that. It's confidential, and I'll just let him spill the beans.
All right, well, Torgo is passed out in the corner, so perhaps he'll join us later. With no further ado, here's Tiny Tim.
Tiptoe through the tulips with... Hello, my dear friends. This is Tiny Tim saying hello to my dear friends at Fast Forward.
Well, first, Mr. Jenny, I want to thank you. It's a pleasure talking to you. And forgive my rudeness sitting. I just got those varicose veins. And Mr. Ian and yourself are very nice to let me sit here. I'm sorry, what was the question again?
As a person who just plays a ukulele on stage, you wouldn't really have much musical luggage, would you?
No, that's right. I don't carry sheet music because all my music is by ear. But I do have a book of music, of words, of great songs, which go back to about 80 years. I have a, I didn't bring it to the show here, but I have a book. It's in my room at the Cosmopolitan. And I have, these are great songs that I do to friends at parties and private affairs. I usually sing, you know, in private affairs, and just for free, but to those who have broken romances, who've left their mothers, who are looking for fortune or fame. Too bad I have my ukulele. I'll give you a number right now.
Is there
okay. If I may, I'll just give you a song, very short, but it's for... wonderful. Thanks. I have a song here, which you probably never heard of, but it's an old gramophone record done in 1910. It was famous here in Australia, too. But I saw this today in Grace Brothers. I saw a painting. I don't know if you've ever heard of Madame Kosakoff.
No,
well, I didn't either. But I saw a picture of her with that name on it. And I tell you the truth, she was so beautiful that it reminded me... Sorry, it reminded me of this song in 1910.
If those lips could only speak, if those eyes could only... If those beautiful golden tresses were mine in reality, if I only held your hand as I did when you called my name, yet it's only a beautiful picture in a beautiful golden frame.
Thank you. 1910, that song was
done. With somebody with a lot of songs in their repertoire, do you ever forget any words?
Constantly. Constantly. I have to make them up here and there. But most of the time, I remember. In fact, my memory is the only handicap for mine. If I had If I had, my memory was good, I would have songs constantly that would change. It would baffle me. But my memory is not that good.
If you could be anybody else in the whole world rather than Tiny Tim, who would you be?
That's a great question, and it gives time. There's so many. I'd say, I think I would like to be George Sanders.
Why George Sanders?
Well, I think he was a very romantic man, and he had a very, very romantic tongue. He really knew how to sway young ladies. And he really had a great lip. I thought he was a very romantic man, and the pictures that he played and the characters that he played. You know, it's unfortunate that he passed away the way he did, writing a note. But I think he was a very brave man. I think people who commit suicide are brave people. I don't think many of us could do that. And I would like to be him.
Finally, Tiny, before we go, and we have to go, what do you think you'll be doing when you're 80 years old?
All right, good question. Well, willing I live and I'm healthy. If I'm married to Miss Dixie, I would be so happy I wouldn't want to do anything else. But if I were not married to her, and this is what I would do, straight now, I don't want you listeners to get the wrong idea, because I'm going to explain it. I would go to wherever young girls hang out, be it colleges, be it topless and bottomless shows, wherever they are, I would look for that one angel I dream of, pure thoughts. And I definitely would send them flowers and cards and bouquets and presents and hope one day I could marry them.
And the two is there.
Oh, if that's along, it's a double contentment.
Thank you very much.
Oh, Mr. Jimmy, thank you.
I stroke it every chance I get. It's my girl's pussy. Seldom plays and never purrs, and I love the thoughts it stirs. But I don't mind because it's hers, my girl's pussy. Often it goes out at night, returns at break of dawn. No matter what the weather's like, it's always nice and warm. It's never dirty, always clean, in giving thrills, never mean. But it's the best I've ever seen, is my girl's pussy. I stroke it every chance I get. It's my girl's pussy. Seldom plays, never burns, and I love both it stirs. But I don't mind because it's hers. It's my girl's pussy. So often it goes out at night and returns at break of dawn.
no matter what the weather's like. It's always dry and warm. I bring tidbits that it loves. We still like to settle doves. I take care to remove my gloves when stroking my girl's pussy.
Ah, the sweet sounds of Harry Roy and his orchestra with My Girl's Pussy. You're tuned to Mystery Science Radio, and if you would like a QSL, please send your reception reports to Mystery Science Radio Shortwave at gmail.com. What's that address again, Frank?
Well, you just said it.
I've got short-term memory loss.
I've got shortwave memory loss. you can send your QSL reports to Mystery Science Radio Shortwave at gmail.com. Once again, that is Mystery Science Radio Shortwave, all one word, at gmail.com.
I thought that was four words.
Yes, but when it's typed out, it's all one word, as though Mystery Science Radio Shortwave.
Okay. I understand you've been reading a lot lately, Frank.
Actually, yes. I have one of the books that I'm currently reading with me right now, as you can tell.
What is that book, Frank?
It's The Hobbit.
Oh, who's your favorite character in The Hobbit?
Well, I really like Bjorn. I believe that's how it's pronounced, Bjorn.
You sure it's not Bjork?
No, it's within it.
Human behavior.
Oh, sorry. No. Bjorn is an interesting character. Like, there's a lot of mystery surrounding him and about his...
Is there a lot of science or radio? I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Well, there might be science to it, but... Anyway, yeah, he's very interesting. A lot of mystery. I like to learn more about him, but the character I can most identify with is Mr. Bilbo Baggins himself.
And why do you identify with Bilbo Baggins?
Well, to simply put it, he was nudged out of the door against his will to go on this huge adventure that pretty much changed his life. And that's how I felt when I moved out of my childhood home and into the real world. I really started missing my childhood home, but then I realized that being on my own in a new wondrous place is good for me. It's like getting fresh air. And that's how I feel about it.
Well, that's awesome. Thank you for that book report, Frank.
Well, it was a book report? What's my grade?
B minus.
Oh, that works for me. I'm usually a D student. Thank you.
Frank, would you like to hear a song about Bilbo Baggins?
Indeed. Most definitely. Have one?
Yes, I do. It's queued up right here. This is Mr. Spock himself, Leonard Nimoy, with the Ballad of Bilbo Baggins.
In the middle of the earth, in the land of Shire, lives a brave little hobbit whom we all admire. With his long wooden pipe, fuzzy woolly toes, he lives in a hobbit hole and everybody knows him. Bilbo, Bilbo Baggins, he's only 3 feet tall. Bilbo, Bilbo Baggins, the bravest little hobbit of them all. Now hobbits are peace-loving folks, you know. They're never in a hurry and they take things slow. They don't like to travel away from home. They just like to eat and be left alone. But one day Bilbo was asked to go on a big adventure to the caves below to help some dwarves get back their gold that was stolen by a dragon in the days of old. Bilbo, Bilbo Baggins, he's only 3 feet tall. Bilbo, Bilbo Baggins, the bravest little hobbit of them all. Well, he fought with the goblins. He battled a troll. He riddled with Gollum. A magic ring he stole. He was chased by wolves, lost in the forest, escaped in a barrel from the Elf King's halls. Bilbo, Bilbo Baggins, the bravest little hobbit of them all. Now he's back in his home in the land of Shire, that brave little hobbit whom we all admire, just sitting on a treasure of silver and gold, puffing on his pipe in his hobbit hole. Bilbo, Bilbo Baggins, he's only 3 feet tall. Bilbo, Bilbo Baggins, the bravest little hobbit of them all. Bilbo, Bilbo Baggins, he's only 3 feet tall.
Well, it looks like Torgo is finally awake.
The master wouldn't approve.
I'm Torgo, and I came to get down.
I take care of the place while the master is away.
Master likes you. Nothing will happen to you. The master likes you.
I'm a walking pretty slow with the legs of a goat. I got seven women on my mind. Four don't want to hold me, two just want to score me. One is only 8 or 9. Take it easy, take it easy. Master's dog driving crazy. Lock me up and take your bags. Even though I can barely stand, I see your hair, here comes my hand. Take it easy. Well, I'm asleep in a corner and here comes my owner. I slowly get on my feet.
You're listening to Mystery Science Radio. I'm Cherokee Jack, and this evening we're doing an homage to Torgo. Torgo, this is your life.
No, it isn't.
Yes, it is.
Whose
life do you think it is?
Well, I certainly thought that I didn't have a life.
Okay, well, Torgo, we're going to go back to the beginning of time and tell your story from the day you were born.
I thought I was created, but okay, this is news.
Yes, it is. Torgo, you were born in 1937 to a family of half-goats in a remote village in Lithuania.
Oh.
You spent your childhood foraging for food and competing against your 14 brothers and sisters in three-legged races.
They kicked my butt.
As a child, your parents read to you the entire published works of Aleister Crowley and H.P. Lovecraft.
The best I've ever heard.
And when you were 27, you left home for a job swabbing decks on the pirate radio ship the Ross Revenge. But soon you made your way to southern Texas, where you met the master.
Mm-hmm. We were frat mates.
The master was an itinerant oracle who interprets the will of the great, well, not so great, almost unknown, totally obscure god, Manos. right? Is that correct?
I'd like to think so.
And the master presided over a harem of 6 wives, and soon you wanted one.
I totally did. I was sick and tired of him hogging the women for himself.
But Torgo, that led to strife in the tight-knit community, and you were found fondling the master's wives while he was asleep.
They look so wonderful.
And then I understand that you were Rolfed to death during a New Age seance, and that you returned to Earth and returned to life 16 years later, selling cigarettes during the 1976 World Series.
I don't recall that.
Yes, it's true.
I must have blacked out.
It was then that you were discovered by the Children's Television Workshop, and you were put to work as a garbage man on Sesame Street.
That I remember. Big Bird was a jerk.
Yes, and then you bit his hand off, didn't you, Torgo?
It was pretty good.
Yes, but after that, you had to panhandle the streets, where you were befriended by George Harrison, and you made a cameo appearance in the Ruddles movie.
Yes, indeed. It didn't get paid for it, but I was congratulated for being in a... I must have blacked out, too.
And then I understand you went on to discover your true calling, delivering pizza for Manos Pizza.
Yes, I remember doing that, minimum wage.
Ah, yes. And now, Torgo, here you are, a broadcaster on Mystery Science Radio. How cool is that?
Well, it's pretty warm right now outside with the...
Well, it's 98 degrees out there.
Yes, but yes, this is pretty cool, as you put it. I definitely like hearing the sound of my own voice.
I can tell.
And that, my friends,
has been the colorful, magnificent life of Torgo.
The master would definitely approve.
Touch.
This is Cherokee Jack, and you're listening to Mystery Science Radio. If you'd like a QSL, please send your reception reports to Mystery Science Radio Shortwave at gmail.com. And no broadcast of Mystery Science Radio would be complete without a version of Stairway to Heaven. So this time around, we have the Leningrad Cowboys with the Red Army Chorus.
There's a lady who's sure all that glitters is gold, and she is buying a stairway to heaven. When she gets there, she knows if the stars are all closed. With the word, she can get what she came for. She's buying a stairway to heaven. There's a sign on the wall, but she wants to be sure, 'cause you know sometimes words have two meanings. In the tree by the brook, there's a songbird who sings. Sometimes all of our thoughts are
The Leningrad Cowboys with Stairway to Heaven. You're listening to Mystery Science Radio, and I'm Cherokee Jack.
And I'm Radios Frank.
And we want to thank you for listening.
Most definitely. I think Torgo wants to wish you guys well. Thank you very much for listening to us. May the hands of Manos ever stroke your hair.
Why, thank you, Torgo.
You're welcome, Jack.
73s, everybody.
And how?
Whatever it is you're not doing, go don't do it somewhere else.